There's 25,000 cash. Send it to Ricky.
Quint stared at the envelope, his mouth wide open. His poor brain was choked with so many thoughts he was dizzy. So he closed his eyes again and squinted fiercely in a vain effort to organize things. Forget the question of who they were. How did they read the letter? Why were they offering him money? How much did they know? He sure as hell couldn't trust them.
The money's yours, Wes said. In return, we need some information.
Who is Ricky?
Quince asked, his eyes barely open.
What do you know about him? Chap asked. His name's not Ricky.
True. He's in prison? True, Chap said again.
Says he has a wife and children.
Partially true. The wife is now an ex-wife. The children are still his.
Says they're destitute, and that's why he's scamming people.
Not exactly. His wife is quite wealthy, and his children have followed the money. We're not sure why he's scamming people.
But we'd like to stop him, Chap added. We need your help.
Quince suddenly realized that for the first time in his life, in all of his 51 years, he was sitting in the presence of two living, breathing people who knew he was a homosexual. The knowledge terrified him. For a second he wanted to deny it, to concoct some story of how he came to know Ricky, but invention failed him. He was too scared to be inspired. Then he realized that these two, whoever they were, could ruin him. They knew his little secret, and they had the power to wreck his life. And they were offering $25,000 in cash? Poor Quince covered his eyes with his knuckles and said,
"What do you want?"
Chap and Wes thought he was about to cry. They didn't particularly care, but there was no need for it.
"Here's the deal, Mr. Garb," said Chap. "You take the money lying there on your desk and you tell us everything about Ricky. Show us your letters. Show us everything. If you have a file or a box or some secret place where you've hidden everything, we'd like to see it. Once we've gathered all we need, then we'll leave. We'll disappear as quickly as we've come, and you'll never know who we are or who we're protecting."
"And you'll keep the secrets?"
"Absolutely.
There's no reason for us to tell anyone about you," Wes added.
"Can you make him stop?"
Quince asked, staring at them.
Chap and Wes paused and glanced at each other. Their responses had been perfect so far, but this question had no clear answer.
"We can't promise, Mr. Garb," Wes said, "but we'll try our best to put this Ricky character out of business. As we said, he's upsetting our client, too.
You've got to protect me on this. We'll do all we can."
Suddenly, Quint stood and leaned forward with his palms flat on the desk.
"Then I have no choice," he announced.
He didn't touch the money, but walked a few steps to an ancient glass bookcase filled with weathered and peeling volumes. With one key, he unlocked the case, and with another, he opened a small, hidden safe on the second shelf from the floor. Carefully, he withdrew a thin, letter-sized folder, which he delicately placed next to the envelope filled with cash. Just as he opened the file, an offensive, high-pitched voice squawked through the intercom.
"Mr. Garb, your father would like to see you immediately."
Quince bolted upright in horror, his cheeks instantly pale, his face contorted in panic.
"Tell him I'm in a meeting," he said, trying to sound reassuring but coming off as a hopeless liar.
"You tell him,"
she said, and the intercom clicked.
Excuse me, he said, actually trying to smile.
He picked up the receiver, punched three numbers, and turned his back to Wes and Chap so that they wouldn't hear.
Dad, it's me. What's up?" he said, head low.
A long pause as the old man filled his ear. Then,
No, they're not from the Federal Reserve. They're lawyers from Des Moines. They represent the family of an old college buddy of mine. That's all."
A shorter pause.
Franklin Delaney. You wouldn't remember him. He died 4 months ago, without a will, a big mess." "No, Dad.
It has nothing to do with the bank.
He hung up. Not a bad piece of lying. The door was locked. That's all that mattered. Wes and Chap stood and moved in tandem to the edge of the desk, where they leaned forward together as Quince opened the file. The first thing they noticed was the photo, paper clipped to the inside flap. Wes gently removed it and said,
"Is this supposed to be Ricky?"
"That's him,"
Quince said, ashamed but determined to get through it.
"A nice-looking young man,"
Chap said, as if they were staring at a Playboy centerfold. All three were immediately uncomfortable.
"You know who Ricky is, don't you?"
Quince asked.
"Yes."
"Then tell me."
"No, that's not part of the deal."
"Why can't you tell me? I'm giving you everything you want."
"That's not what we agreed on."
"I want to kill the bastard."
"Relax, Mr. Garb. We have a deal. You get the money, we get the file. Nobody gets hurt."
"Let's go back to the beginning,"
Chap said, looking down at the fragile and suffering little man in the oversized chair.
"How did it all start?"